The Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Michael Roizen. And check out Dr. Oz and Dr. Roizen's website, youbeauty.com. Here are Joe Galewski, Dr. Deb Lonser, and of course, Dr. Michael Roizen, MD.
The passionate radio show that helps you take control of your genes to become the world expert on your body. It's You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Michael Roizen, the Chief Wellness Officer at the Cleveland Clinic. I'm Joe Galewski at 17:20 after the hour. Dr. Gary Ginsberg on toxicology. ExxonMobil involved in a case they lost. Could be bad times for rice. And arsenic in drinking water might be a little closer to home than you think. And then at 34 past the hour, it's Straight Talk from the Docs with Dr. Mike and Dr. Arthur Perry. What are you going to be talking about today with Dr. Perry, Dr. Mike?
I'm going to leave it a surprise for now because, in fact, I don't know what Dr. Perry wants to talk about. I do know what I want to talk about, but he has emailed me during the last hour, and I didn't have a chance because I was fielding some patient questions as they sent them in. Anyone, of course, can email us a question, and I handle those first. That's at udocs, Y-O-U-D-O-C-S, at gmail.com.
All right. I'm sure you guys will work that out before 34 past the hour. We have a guest in this hour, Dr. Mike. Please introduce him, if you would, and the subject matter.
It's Dr. Butler. And I'm probably mispronouncing that. He's from our arch-rival institution, if you will, in theory, the Mayo Clinic, which has some great work going on. And when I saw this article, I immediately asked our producer to see if she could get him on the show. I knew he'd be in real demand because I think this work is groundbreaking and incredibly important. We've often used receptors and what we call the expression of genes that we can measure to guide what chemotherapy. So, for example, those people know that breast cancer, we look at several of the receptors to gauge what chemotherapy, what course of treatment. We're increasingly doing that. But this was different. So, Dr. Butler, tell us about what you did differently and why you consider this so groundbreaking the way I do.
We have started to now use the genomic technology to not only look at which cancer drugs would be effective in treating a particular cancer disease, but also to try to understand how patients will feel during their chemotherapy treatment. Because if you look at cancer medicine from the patient's perspective, there's always the two sides of the treatment decision. One is, will this drug shrink my tumor? Will it make me live longer, perhaps cure me from this cancer disease? And on the other side of the equation is, will I be able to sustain this treatment? Will I suffer side effects? On both sides of the equation, for a long time, we've been able to make many predictions based on clinical grounds, how well the patient is doing, what the age is, what the sex of the patient is, what the type of tumor is. And we have also had some idea of how patients will do, what treatment they will tolerate well. But there's been always a dark area on both sides of this equation where we can't predict. And I think that's where genetics comes in. And the genetic revolution that has really move from the research laboratory to the clinic of the past 2 or 3 years or so is now empowering us to make these predictions on an individual patient basis. And that's where our...
So let me see if I can understand this, and let me see if I understand that what you're saying, that what we've done in the past is use genetic information to gauge treatments. Now what we're able to do is to gauge side effects, so in fact we can have more of a chance of having a benefit and less of a chance of having a serious side effect that limits the amount of treatment we can give a patient. And that's especially true with cancer.
That is exactly true. In the side effect that we focused on in the present study is called chemotherapy-induced peripheral neuropathy, which is a type of nerve damage that patients can suffer as a side effect of many of the commonly used chemotherapies.
And it's a particularly, they can get pain from the nerve damage or they can get loss of function. And when that sets in, you generally avoid that chemotherapeutic agent, have to disrupt a regimen. So what you're saying is we might be able to know about this in advance and choose a regimen where you get the same effect with much less side effect or a greater effect.
That is exactly true. And it then percolates back even into the clinical research world, where we can design studies specifically so that patients who are known to be susceptible to these side effects can be investigated in terms of what better regimen can we give them that might be equally or nearly equally effective, but keep patients free from the risk of suffering such side effects, which often can be extremely bothersome and in some patients even irreversible and leading to chronic debility. And that's certainly something that we always want to avoid.
I always consider that we have a very astute audience. So one of the audience members said, I am on a beta blocker for high blood pressure, but it makes my blood sugar thing worse. Will this type of genetic analysis help people like me or help for diseases other than cancer so that people who will have side effects from, for example, beta blockers will know about it in advance and maybe other drugs be used for their high blood pressure?
What we are doing is part of a field that has existed for a long time and that is called pharmacogenomics. So how can my genome predict from which medicines I would benefit and which medications might individually for me be not advantageous. And in that regard, I think the answer in general would be yes. And I can say from my perspective and the perspective of our study that the new technologies that we applied within the cancer field are so extremely powerful that they have already been applied in the cardiology field as well. But I can't specifically say anything for this question because I'm not a cardiologist, a cancer specialist, but I treat patients with cancer. So the beta blocker question would be outside of my specific area of expertise. So my best guess is, in principle, yes. Specifically, I don't know.
Well, I want to thank you, Dr. Butler, from the Mayo Clinic for doing such a great job in explaining this and also for advancing science so much that many of the people listening will in fact be able to benefit if, God forbid, they get a cancer. One of the chemotherapeutic regimen processes will enable them to get better effect with less side effect and feel better or get more effect and actually have a better chance of having disease-free intervals. So thank you very much, and thank you for all of us. Joe?
Thank you. It was a pleasure.
Thank you, Doctor. Dr. Mike, we're going to go to a break in a minute here. We have Dr. Gary Ginsberg in about 5 minutes or 20 after the hour. Before we go there, we have a minute for you to talk about a connection possibly between sleeping less and weighing more. What's the connection between weighing more and sleeping less?
This was a study in teenagers where they looked at what happens for teenagers who sleep an extra hour. And these were overweight teenagers, and what happened is they lost 0.28 BMI units for every hour they chronically slept. This talks about the trade-off between obesity and exercise. So I tweeted this, and someone wrote me back an email, which I then tweeted an answer to, which is, or that we would give an answer, what's the trade-off between 30 minutes of exercise a day and 30 minutes of extra sleep? Well, the trade-off is you want to do both. You've got to prioritize yourself. That is, you are and your function is the most important. If you don't sleep long enough, your brain function declines and you don't have as good memories. And if you don't exercise, you don't stay in as top physical condition. You don't live as long or with as little disability. So both of those are important. You've got to figure out how to prioritize yourself so you get both the right amount of sleep, 7 to 8 hours a night, and get the right amount of exercise, which is 10,000 steps a day, plus 20 minutes of cardio 3 times a week and 30 minutes of resistance once a week. Those are the minimum exercises for maximum health benefit.
Dr. Go. Gary Ginsberg, what's toxic and what's not, coming up after the break here on You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Michael Roizen on Radio MD. Stay well.
Hi, this is Melanie Cole, show host here at Radio MD and a mother of two. I want parents to know about Great Start Life Insurance offered by Guarantee Trust Life Insurance Company. Great Start ensures the future insurability of your children. Now, what does that mean? Too often, people will get an illness or an injury at some point in their lives that afterwards can preclude them from receiving life insurance, and that can cause a lot of problems. But by insuring your children now with the Great Start Plan, the insurance that grows with your children, they'll already be insured regardless of future illness or injury. Find out all about the great benefits of the Great Start Plan. Go to GreatStartGTL.com and see for yourself why Great Start is, well, a great start for your kids. Peace of mind at GreatStartGTL.com. That's GreatStartGTL.com. For the Great Start Plan, go to GreatStartGTL.com.
Plan not available in all states. Life insurance underwritten by Guaranteed Trust Life Insurance Company, Glenview, Illinois.
Hi, I'm Dr. Regina Benjamin, U.S. Surgeon General. As a family doctor, I've seen the terrible impact of a premature birth. Losing a baby is one of the hardest things a family can go through. As Surgeon General, I see the toll that premature births have on our nation. It can cause lifelong disabilities. It is the leading cause of death in newborns. And our country has one of the highest rates of preterm birth in the world. We must do better. Hospitals need to ensure that babies are delivered early, only when medically necessary. We need research to find the causes of premature birth and research to find new ways to prevent it. Couples need to learn the risk of premature birth and what they can do to have a full-term baby, such as getting a preconception checkup. Remember, 40 weeks is a full-term pregnancy, and every week of pregnancy counts. Let's work together for stronger, healthier babies.
I didn't think it was anything.
I had pain in my abdomen. It just wouldn't go away.
I was spotting, but I had already gone through menopause.
These symptoms may be nothing, but they could be early warning signs of a gynecologic cancer, such as cervical, ovarian, or uterine cancer.
Seeing my doctor probably saved my life.
Warning signs are not the same for everyone. If you think something's wrong, see your doctor. Ask about gynecologic cancer. Call 1-800-CDC-INFO for more information. A message from the Inside Knowledge Campaign and the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
This is Tour de Cure, and it's more than just a bike ride. It's a celebration. It's where every turn of the pedal helps stop diabetes. Where cyclists of all levels come together to make a difference, to raise money, and to raise hope. It's the ride of your life. It's Tour de Cure. Register today at diabetes.org/tour. That's diabetes.org/tour.
With the American Academy of Pediatrics, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin. October 8th through the 14th is National Fire Prevention Week, a great time to brush up on fire safety skills. We've all heard of stop, drop, and roll, but there's also the first up, last out rule. This method was developed after studies revealed that children don't always wake up when a fire alarm sounds. Even if they do, they're often disoriented and confused by the noise and commotion. Under these circumstances, children may decide it's safer to hide under the bed or in a closet than venture out into the darkness and smoke. First up, last out aims to avoid that situation. When a smoke alarm goes off, the first person up, usually an adult, is responsible for finding and ushering everyone out of the house. So while a working smoke detector more than doubles your chance of surviving a fire, it is also important to ensure that no one gets left behind. And for more information on children's health and safety, visit www.aap.org. With a minute for kids, I'm Dr. Don Schiff.
You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. Here are Dr. Mike, Dr. Deb Lonser, and Joe Galuski.
And the show brought to you weekly by Morning and Night Multivitamins and YouBeauty.com. Dr. Arthur Perry at 34 past the hour. Dr. Mike's Real Age Tip of the Week before the end of the show. It's time for What's Toxic and What's Not from Dr. Gary Ginsberg. Today's topics include ExxonMobil, rice, and arsenic in drinking water. With Dr. Gary Ginsberg. Dr. Mike, what do you like? What catches your eye with Dr. G's topics today?
Well, I like to hear about rice and how much lead there is and what we should do if we like rice, whether we should just give it up.
No, I'm not saying give it up, guys. Hey, I eat rice as well, and this story did disappoint me because I've been eating imported rice with the news that the domestic rice from the United States, as I've talked about on the show in the past, has been is shown to be relatively high in arsenic from the old days when we used to have cotton fields down south. The arsenic was used, the lead arsenate was used as a pesticide in the cotton fields. So now they've converted those fields to rice fields. And domestic rice from Texas, Louisiana, Mississippi, that southern belt, Arkansas, that rice is actually relatively high in arsenic. So I've been telling people to have either California rice or imported rice. Well, now this news story is saying that imported rice, a study by a university lab in the United States from New Jersey, is saying that imported rice that they just happened to sample for lead turns out to be very variable in lead content, but some of the numbers are alarmingly high, like 5 to 10 parts per million. Normally we talk about parts per billion, but this is very substantial levels of lead. It appears to be coming from countries like Taiwan, China, India, where in some cases, get this, guys, I know that this has got a big ick factor. They may be flooding the rice paddies with sewage, like untreated sewage. So, my days of consuming imported rice may be numbered. I have to look at this a little more closely. But anyway, the lead levels were high enough that if a child was eating the rice a couple of meals a week, they would be getting substantial amounts of lead, enough to be increasing their blood lead levels, getting lead into the brain, et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, we in toxicology and public health really advocate for no extra lead. You know, a source of lead, you get rid of it, because any amount of lead has the chance to deposit some of it into the brain.
So how do you make sure you're not getting lead or arsenic in your rice, Gary?
California rice. There are a couple of brands that are, you know, I'm not going to go brand name here because I don't want to sound like I'm being paid to endorse anybody, but look at the label. And it will say grown in California versus imported from India versus grown in Texas. And look for the California brands. They are not known to have any arsenic, any lead. And fortunately, because it's in the United States, there are higher standards about what kind of rice paddy practices they do have.
What do you do if you're in a restaurant?
Well, you know, most of us aren't eating out all that often, and it is a matter of the dose and the frequency. So if you're eating out at Asian restaurants where they're serving rice, if you're eating out often, I would say you might want to have their noodles.
Okay. They probably wouldn't know where the rice comes from, would they?
No, they wouldn't. No,
they would
probably are getting it from whatever local market or whatever inexpensive source they get it from. Brown rice versus white rice is not a way to get less contaminant. It turns out the arsenic is actually higher in the brown rice. You know, at a restaurant, I would say if you're eating at restaurants a lot, you know, don't eat rice every time.
No, good to know. Another story you want to talk about today that has to do with arsenic as well.
Yeah, well, you know, this is the next two stories are all about groundwater and drinking water. A lot of us drink from public supplies, which can come from groundwater wells, or if you're on your own private supply. And both stories have to do with contamination. One, natural contamination, and that's arsenic from rock and minerals in the bedrock, and the other from ExxonMobil. So the first one, arsenic, and this is from my own home state of Connecticut, where now we have found an outbreak of arsenic in the well water in a town called Weston, Connecticut. But it's not unique to Weston. There's sporadic hotspots of arsenic around the Northeast, and unless you test your own private well for arsenic specifically, we also have a problem with uranium in the Northeast in water. If you don't test for arsenic and uranium, you're never going to know. It doesn't make the water taste bad. You're not going to glow in the dark from it. You're not, your kidney isn't going to suddenly fall out of your body. So you're not going to know until maybe it's too late. Arsenic is a carcinogen. It could also increase blood pressure and heart disease. It could increase diabetes risk. So, and at levels now that, originally the studies in Bangladesh and in Chile where the levels were quite high, much higher than the U.S., we didn't have too much concern. Now some of the new epidemiology is down at some lower levels, still showing some suggestions. So we're not sure exactly how much is a concern, but, there is a safe drinking water standard of 10 micrograms per liter for arsenic. And if you test your well and you're above 10, you need to deal with that and treat the water. Unfortunately, there are treatments available. People on public supplies, whether it's from a big reservoir or whether it's coming from a groundwater well, that's tested, and we know that water is safe with respect to arsenic. But if you're on your own private system, it's up to you to test. And arsenic is certainly worth testing for. It's not an expensive test, and you could rest assured sleep well at night if your level's below 10.
All right. Story number 3 for today, it's ExxonMobil. Lost a court case. What happened?
Yeah, this is up in New Hampshire, but there have been court cases around the country related to the gasoline ingredient MTBE. And that may sound like a blast from the past, but MTBE was used to increase the efficiency of the burning of the fuel so there'd be less tailpipe pollution. It was good for air quality, but it was bad for groundwater quality. And what happened was gas pumps back in the 90s and 80s, they leaked. The tanks underneath the ground, they were leaky, and the new ones today leak much less. But the MTBE was in the gasoline with benzene and other nasties, and the MTBE was traveled further from the spill, and it would get into people's wells and contaminate almost the entire state, perhaps, or large regions would be contaminated by gasoline spills from leaking tanks. And the MTBE would get the furthest and be the worst contamination problem. So finally, states have been saying, we've been cleaning this up, or we've been left holding the bag for years. They're suing the companies, the fuel companies, the refineries, and the ExxonMobils of the world. ExxonMobil just got lost a case in New Hampshire for $273 million that they're going to have to, unless if they lose their appeal, they will have to pay to help clean up New Hampshire groundwater and also test and put monitor filters on people's wells. They lost a $1.5 billion case in Maryland for the same kind of thing. They appealed that, and they won the appeal because basically they put MTBE into the gasoline. They could claim because they were told to do so by federal EPA. And EPA then backed out and said, no, MTBE is not such a good idea. So, I think the bottom line here is that when we try to improve our society by a new plasticizer, a new flame retardant, a new nonstick coating, some great new additive to gasoline, we really have to think more holistically about not only the good stuff that chemistry, is doing for us, but also what kind of contamination, toxicology, public health problems are going along with this innovation. And MTBE is one of those perfect examples of stumbling along in the dark.
Dr. Gary Ginsberg, whatstoxic.com. This is a terrific website. Next up, Straight Talk from the Docs. Dr. Arthur Perry and Dr. Mike Roizen. At 34 past the hour, you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show, with Dr. Michael Roizen on Radio MD. Stay well. Thanks for listening.
I can solve difficult problems for a Fortune 500 company.
I can run a successful business.
I can put my military experience to work for your company.
I can manage your home improvements.
I can publicize a message.
I can teach your children.
But I can't put my skills to work for your organization
if I'm not given the opportunity.
Nearly 50 million Americans have disabilities. Capitalize on their talents with employment practices that benefit everyone. Learn more at whatcanyoudocampaign.org.
Hi, I'm Olympic gold medalist Shawn Johnson. I want to make sure you know about the March of Dimes March for Babies. This walk is really special to me. I was born with an APGAR score of 0, which is not an ideal way to start. Every day, babies start life the same way, with the odds stacked against them. Their first steps are made possible by ours. All of ours. Take the first step at marchforbabies.org. Let's walk together for stronger, healthier babies.
With the American Academy of Pediatrics, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin. The U.S. is experiencing an increase in the number of cases of whooping cough. This is a serious illness caused by pertussis bacteria. It often starts with what seems like a common cold. Then, especially for toddlers, the cough worsens and leads to the characteristic whoop sound on inhaling. During this phase of the illness, which usually lasts more than 2 weeks, the child can get short of breath and the skin around the mouth may turn blue. Older children may cough so hard they vomit. The illness can be particularly deadly for infants who can develop complications such as pneumonia and seizures. Whooping cough is highly contagious and can spread to children who have not been vaccinated. The best way to prevent this dangerous illness is to be sure your child received all doses of the pertussis vaccine. This is usually given as the DTaP vaccine. And for more information on preventing whooping cough, visit www.cisp.org. With a Minute for Kids, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin.
I didn't think it was anything.
I had pain in my abdomen. It just wouldn't go away.
I was spotting, but I had already gone through menopause.
These symptoms may be nothing, but they could be early warning signs of a gynecologic cancer, such as cervical, ovarian, or uterine cancer.
Seeing my doctor probably saved my life.
Warning signs are not the same for everyone. If you think something's wrong, see your doctor. Ask about gynecologic cancer. Call 1-800-CDC-INFO for more information. A message from the Inside Knowledge Campaign and the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
This is Torticure, and it's more than just a bike ride. It's a celebration. It's where every turn of the pedal helps stop diabetes. Where cyclists of all levels come together to make a difference, to raise money, and to raise hope. It's the ride of your life. It's Torticure. Register today at diabetes.org/tour. That's diabetes.org/tour.
Sometimes people buy cookies as a gift for us to send to our soldiers. They tell us it reminds them of home.
Emily is one of thousands of Girl Scouts who will send cookies to troops stationed overseas.
Children shouldn't have to take abuse because they aren't strong enough to escape it. I want to give them a helping hand.
Alicia uses proceeds from her cookie sales to provide mentoring programs at a shelter in her community.
Selling Girl Scout cookies has taught me how to manage money, be responsible, and talk to other people.
Tanya wants to go to business school and hopes to run her own company someday.
On a visit to the food bank, I learned that in this economy, more and more people need help to feed their families.
Morgan and other Girl Scouts are starting a project to help get food to those who need it most. Every Girl Scout cookie has a mission, to help girls do great things. Find your cookies now at GirlScoutCookies.org.
And now back to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. And now joining Drs. Roizen and Lonzer is renowned plastic surgeon, Dr. Arthur Perry.
And this is Dr. Mike. Are you there, Arthur? We don't seem to have Arthur yet, but we'll go over. So what we will do is go over some of what we've talked about on the top medical news stories of the week. We'll review them and go over some new ones as well. So one of the things that we discussed is if you are born in May, you have a 50% increased chance, or you have a substantial increase in risk of having an autoimmune disease that we now know as multiple sclerosis, compared to if you were born in December. And that's consistent across many countries, and it's been consistent for a number of years. And you say, that's crazy. The birth date should have nothing to do with whether you get a disease when you're 30 or 40. But what it does is it apparently sets you up by what amount of vitamin D3 you had in your blood during your pregnancy. That is, when you were being, developed in utero, what level of D3 your mother had and you had then passed to you, and that correlates with the number of autoimmunocytes, that is some specific immune cells that attack your own body. And if you have enough vitamin D, you suppress those immune cells and don't apparently get many of the autoimmune diseases. So it's a reason for moms all over to take prenatal vitamins from before the time of pregnancy. And since 50% of pregnancies are unplanned in America, every woman probably between the ages of 12 and 50 ought to be taking prenatal vitamins routinely. The second thing is a wonderful study now, a dueling study between Mayo Clinic and Cleveland Clinic on the value of L-carnitine. The data from the Mayo Clinic analysis and Mayo Clinic proceedings analysis of a series of studies in patients who had a heart attack and were given L-carnitine showed a small but significant 27% decrease in progression to heart failure and death rate if they got L-carnitine after they had a heart attack. The Cleveland Clinic study, on the other hand, looks at long-term use of L-carnitine, or what if you're eating red meat, and what it does to your bacteria in your gut. It changes the way they function so that they produce more of a substance called TMAO, trimethylamine oxide. That gets metabolized in your liver to trimethylamine oxide nitrogen, or a nitrous compound relating to that. That compound causes inflammation in your liver and inflammation in your arteries, and is fivefold more likely to be associated with your having a heart attack than is a elevated cholesterol level. And what you do by having meat frequently, or L-carnitine supplements, is you induce the bacteria. It's like you persuade the bacteria to metabolize it differently, which not only makes you gain more weight, they metabolize things better, and you absorb them better, but not only do you gain more weight, but you also, in fact, cause heart disease and heart attacks. So, in fact, that's the risk of this process, if you will. I'm still searching to see if we have Arthur Perry on the phone, since he normally joins me at this time. But that was what this is. What's the result? Is if you have a heart attack, maybe it's appropriate to take L-carnitine for a short period of time and eat red meat, but soon switch away from it because it will cause long-term damage. Next, if you will, one of the next studies we talked about was this is one we actually didn't talk about but has a couple of interesting stories on it. It is a surprising path to better sex. Turns out that many elderly, especially women with hip pain, have pain during sex and don't enjoy it, and thus don't have climaxes and don't have orgasms. What this orthopedic surgeon in New York City studied was the number, and it was a large number, who after hip replacement surgery said they were having much better sex because of it. She, in fact, added a full page to her website on the consequences of hip replacement surgery, because many of her patients were asking her about when they could be intimate again. And she said she has all that information. It is now the most clicked on page on her website by a large margin when people are looking at should they have hip replacement surgery. Another study that we didn't talk about in the best studies of the week was synchronized sounds to improve memory during sleep. It's been known that some sounds somehow improve memory. No one knew what it was. What and then they used sounds to test this and could not find it. So this study actually synchronized the sounds when you went into deep, what's called REM, rapid eye movement sleep, with your sleep patterns. So it would sing a sound every time you went into a rapid eye movement period. It synchronized them so the sounds occurred at the same time your sleep waves did. And yes, you radically improved memory. What do I say by radically? Well, they had people try and remember 20 things, and they remembered many more of them when they had this synchronized sound sleep than when they didn't. So that was a major, major finding. What does this mean to you or me? Probably nothing, since most of us won't put an EEG on an electrical guide to our sleep pattern and have us have sounds with it. The basic thing is, though, that get enough sleep, and not only will you get thinner, but your memory will get better. So one of the problems is if you're not getting enough sleep, you're degrading memories, so you want to get enough sleep. And Arthur Perry, if you're on, just speak up, because I can't hear you if you are on. And Sonar, is he on? No. Okay. Another of the top medical news stories of the week, and I'll keep going through them, was the study in the Netherlands of people who were 30 years old. And they looked at their habits compared to people who were 30 years old 30 years ago and 20 years ago. And they found that compared to people 20 years ago, the group now, women had a doubling of the obesity rate, and men were up 20% in obesity. Rates of diabetes were substantially higher. Rates of high blood pressure untreated were substantially higher. Only one thing went down, smoking rates. But overall, when you related to their risks of dying, they were the equivalent of 45 years old. The 30-year-olds now were equivalent of 20 years ago's 45-year-olds. And the question is, are we going to die sooner or just use more medical interventions to try and keep living longer? Obviously, we're now using more medical interventions, which is why our medical costs are going up so much. When we come back, we're going to talk about a couple more of the important new medical news stories of the week. And if we get Arthur back, we'll even talk about something relating to skin. We'll be right back on You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show on RadioMD.com. Stay well.
Are you tired of getting sick and tired? Are you tired of doctors not knowing what's wrong with you? D-Herbs may have the answer. D-Herbs, number one in herbal remedies. D-Herbs' main goal is to enlighten and properly educate people to the importance of human health and nutrition. D-Herbs, home of the full body cleanse. Everyone needs to cleanse. If you eat meat and dairy products, you need to cleanse. If you're eating processed foods, you need to cleanse. 90% of today's diseases that we suffer from are diet related. Cleansing opens a door to healing and rejuvenation. Whether you need help with a chronic disease, weight loss, or to jumpstart and eliminate fatigue, D-Herbs Full Body Cleanse can help. There's a better way to live and healthier way to live. Experience healing. Visit us at dherbs.com. That's dherbs.com. Or call us at 866-434-3727. That's 866-434-3727.
If you know the symptoms and get the facts, you'll know the signs of a heart attack. Women, listen to me, and when I'm done, if it sounds familiar, call 911.
Pain in your neck, chest,
on the jaw,
shortness of breath,
please tell us more. Cold sweats and nausea, tiredness,
it's time to take it serious.
Back pain, stomach pain, shortness of breath, cold sweat, nausea, dizziness. If you know the symptoms and heed the signs, you'll be around for a long, long time. Women, listen to me, and when I'm done,
If any sound familiar, call 911.
Learn a song that can save your life. Get a free download at womenshealth.gov/heartattack.
Women, listen to me, and when I'm done, if any sound familiar, call 911. If any sound familiar, call 911.
A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
My story may help you. This is what happened. I was talking to my best friend. I told her I wasn't feeling like myself. I had pain in my pelvic area and bleeding that wasn't normal for me. Since it had gone on for a couple of weeks, my friend said I had to go to the doctor. Of course, she was right. Turned out I had uterine cancer, a type of gynecologic cancer. To make a long story short, by realizing something might be wrong and seeing my doctor right away, I received treatment. Now, we're confident I'll be fine. Please, please listen to your body. If something doesn't feel right for 2 weeks or longer, see your doctor.
Uterine, cervical, ovarian, vaginal, and vulvar cancers are all gynecologic cancers. Signs and symptoms are not the same for everybody. So get the facts. Get the inside knowledge. Call 1-800-CDC-INFO to learn more.
Knowing can make all the difference in the world. It did for me.
A message from the Inside Knowledge Campaign and the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
With the American Academy of Pediatrics, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin. Kids often test parental limits and rules, and sometimes parents decide enough is enough. That's when a timeout may be effective. Timeouts stop children from getting attention after they misbehave. Timeouts work best for children between the ages of 2 and 5, but can be effective for kids as old as 10 in some cases. A rule of thumb is 1 minute of timeout for every year of your child's age. For example, a 4-year-old would get a 4-minute timeout. Some guidelines for a timeout. Give the timeout immediately after the unacceptable behavior so your child knows why she's being disciplined. Explain clearly why the behavior was unacceptable. Calmly place your child in a quiet, boring, but secure place. If she gets up, quietly explain that her timeout isn't over and return her to her seat. When it is over, wipe the slate clean and remember to praise your child each time and every time she shows acceptable behaviors. With a minute for kids, I'm Dr.
I can hear you.
And now back to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. Here are the You Docs, Dr. Michael Roizen and Dr. Arthur Perry.
Arthur has been playing hooky for probably 2 weeks. Avoiding our conversation, avoiding our connection. So he finally decided to come in from the beautiful weather in New York City to talk to us on the radio show.
Mike, I'm here for you always. You know that. I'm sitting in the studio just waiting for the magic of radio to connect us. How have you been?
It is amazing how many connection problems we can have. But, of course, you're in New York. I'm in Las Vegas. The upload is in Vero Beach, Florida. The satellite goes out from Colorado Springs, Colorado. So even when we don't have people like the guy from the Mayo Clinic who is on, or from Gary Ginsberg or Joe Galuski, who are all in different cities, it's amazing how good a job Sonar and the crew is able to do to keep us all connected. But now, tell us about stupid connections. Why teenagers, after melanoma treatment, go back to tanning beds?
This is just an amazing story, Mike. Can you imagine if you have a cancer that happens to be caused by something like the sunshine, or lung cancer caused by cigarette smoking? Can you imagine continuing the behavior that caused the problem? I actually can't. But apparently many, many young girls who have been diagnosed with melanoma, which is growing by leaps and bounds, because of tanning salons and dangerous behavior, and in this case, the dangerous behavior is lying on the beach. Well, over a quarter of those people continue to go out without sunscreen, even after getting their diagnosis.
So this is a group, they get a cancer relating to tanning. They go out on the beach without wearing suntan.
Amazing. Absolutely amazing.
Do they think they've had it all, or do they think they don't have a genetic predisposition to it? What's the thoughts behind this?
I don't know what the thoughts are. However, they have done some studies on this, Mike. And, you know, we've talked about the tanorexics, you know, these people who just can't get enough of the sun and punish their bodies to the point where they age prematurely and get these cancers. These people, they've actually put them in these machines called single photon emission computed tomography. Can you say that one fast? The SPEC.
No.
The SPEC scans. And they can light up areas of the brain that are associated with certain pleasure centers. And it turns out that people who tan like that, who continue to go out in the tan, are more likely to, I guess, to have those areas of the brain light up that also light up with opioids. That means like morphine addiction. So there's something to this that's not just psychological, Mike, but there's a physical component to this type of behavior. And people get a feeling of well-being going into the sun. Some people, not everybody. When I go into the sun more than about 20 minutes, I feel lousy. Like any dog, I climb out of the sun and go into the shade. But then again, I don't like the taste of alcohol, so who knows? So it's an interesting phenomenon, but certainly the most rapidly rising group of people that are getting melanomas are young women, and this has to end. We talked last week just very briefly about states beginning to regulate tanning salons. New Jersey just did, and a few states around the country have done this, and it's necessary because of exactly studies like this. And you know, there's a lot of people, you know, I'm fairly...
So what would you do, God forbid, if this was a patient of yours who got a basal cell cancer or melanoma, you took out the melanoma, and then comes back and you see her very well, shall we say, tanned again?
Well, you know, I give them a lecture. But, you know, a lecture from me is only a little bit more helpful than a lecture from parents, right? You know, the kids just turn off their parents. They often turn off their doctors also, but maybe a little less likely. But that's okay. I give them the lecture, and I talk to them and tell them about the consequences and what happens if they get another one. Because as you and I know, if you have one, you are significantly more likely to have a second melanoma. So that's why you really want to live with sunscreen every day of the year, an SPF 15 at least on exposed areas. And when you go to the beach, it is an SPF 30. And I like
and
the zinc
oxide.
And
speaking of that, you have some new skin stuff available. Do you have something we should put on every day, like something for daytime?
Yes, exactly. That's the name of it, daytime. Although that one, Mike, that is my sunscreen for daily use, and that will be available June 1st. Here we are in April now. We've got two things ready, the soap and the night cream. But
the soap is called Clean Time, T-Y-M-E.
T-H-Y-M-E, because it has time in it, which is a great antioxidant.
T-H-Y-M-E.
Time. T-H-Y-M-E.
Joshua, you don't know how to spell time.
Well, you know, as long as you can say it, that's all I care about. But, yeah, those products, the first two are ready, and the next one and will be ready June 1st with the sunscreen in it. Very, very important to put it on every single day of the year, and not just very light-skinned people. Mike, you and I both know that people with color to the skin do have some innate protection, but not enough. And people of Mediterranean descent and African Americans still need sunscreen. And a lot of people think they do not. If they have darker skin, they do.
So any kind of skin, you need sunscreen, and you want to put it on, and you want to put enough on. You told me it's got to be 1 millimeter thick.
Just about that. So here's the rule of thumb for as we head into maybe a little bit of sunny.
And this will
season.
Be our tip of the week, since we aren't going to get a tip of the week in.
Okay, so remember those bottle caps? They don't have too many anymore, but bottle caps on bottles of soda or beer, right? So you want to take a bottle cap, and the amount of sunscreen that fills a bottle cap is what you need for your face. Okay, so it's actually half of a bottle cap for your face, and a whole bottle cap for each arm, and two bottle caps for each leg and thigh, and two bottle caps for the front of you and two for the back, which you have to get someone to apply for you. So it's the bottle cap.
Now, half a bottle cap for the face.
That's enough to spread and give you the SPF that is on the label. And that's very important because a lot of people
put
on... So
the real age tip of the week, use enough, and that's half a bottle cap for the face,
mm-hmm.
It is for the leg, for the thigh and legs, it is 2 bottle caps for each leg.
Mm-hmm. One for
the front body, it is 2 bottle caps.
Yep.
For the back of you, and you have to have someone else, it's 2 bottle caps. The only thing we didn't cover is the arms.
No, the arms are one. The arms are one bottle cap each arm. That's right.
And so, that is the Real Age tip of the week. If you do that, you get the SPF that you're supposed to get from that lotion. And remember to always use something with at least SPF 15 every day, rain or shine.
And that's your tip of the week.
And that's the Real Age tip of the week. We ought to play the music now to say thank you. But in any case, thank you for listening. And remember, you can go to at Cleveland Clinic if you want to pledge for the Keep Memory Alive benefit, which supports the Cleveland Clinic Uruvo Center for Brain Health. And thank you, Sonar, for great engineering, and you for listening. We'll be back with a live show next week on You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
Hi, this is Melanie Cole, show host here at Radio MD and a mother of two. I want parents to know about Great Start Life Insurance offered by Guarantee Trust Life Insurance Company. Great Start ensures the future insurability of your children. Now, what does that mean? Too often, people will get an illness or an injury at some point in their lives that afterwards can preclude them from receiving life insurance, and that can cause a lot of problems. But by insuring your children now with the Great Start Plan, the insurance that grows with your children, they'll already be insured regardless of future illness or injury. Find out all about the great benefits of the Great Start Plan. Go to GreatStartGTL.com and see for yourself why Great Start is, well, a great start for your kids. Peace of mind at GreatStartGTL.com. That's GreatStartGTL.com. For the Great Start Plan, go to GreatStartGTL.com.
Plan not available in all states. Life insurance underwritten by Guaranteed Trust Life Insurance Company, Glenview, Illinois.
Sometimes people buy cookies as a gift for us to send to our soldiers. They tell us it reminds them of home.
Emily is one of thousands of Girl Scouts who will send cookies to troops stationed overseas.
Children shouldn't have to take abuse because they aren't strong enough to escape it. I want to give them a helping hand.
Alicia uses proceeds from her cookie sales to provide mentoring programs at a shelter in her community.
Selling Girl Scout cookies has taught me how to manage money, be responsible, and talk to other people.
Tanya wants to go to business school and hopes to run her own company someday.
On a visit to the food bank, I learned that in this economy, more and more people need help to feed their families.
Morgan and other Girl Scouts are starting a project to help get food to those who need it most. Every Girl Scout cookie has a mission, to help girls do great things. Find your cookies now at GirlScoutCookies.org.